Welcome to the Avenging Hour. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
This is episode 216, and today we are going to talk about Avengers West Coast number 54 from January of 1990, and I've almost graduated high school.
We will be going back to the 80s a little bit here and there, but we finally have broken into the 90s.
We've gone through the 60s, 70s, and 80s on this podcast.
Yeah, it's only 20 years.
And it only took us, well, we took a couple years off.
So. Yeah, it's not fair. We can't. And we used to do a lot more issues at a time than we do now. If we'd always been doing one issue at a time, we'd still be back in the 60s. Well, actually, we wouldn't, because we're at episode 215 right now. So
stop being so technical.
We'd probably be somewhere in the 70s.
Let's talk about this giant splash page of Mole Man's face.
Yeah, so number 54 is written and drawn by John Byrne. I'm sorry, wait, is that correct?
I believe so.
It is inked by Paul Ryan, yes. So written and drawn by John Byrne, Paul Ryan comes across the state.
I guess we should talk about the cover. Because it's an homage.
Yes. So this issue is called The Troubled Earth. And as you say, the cover is an homage to Fantastic Four number one.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate because in Fantastic Four number one, they fight the Mole Man. In this issue, the Avengers fight the Mole Man.
There he is.
I would like to point out, I've been going on my rant about how John Byrne keeps having the Avengers fight foes they fought before. The Avengers have fought the Mole Man before. It's not been since the 1960s, but it has happened. And both three of the current West Coast Avengers, Tony Stark, Hank Pym, and Jan, were all there for it.
Was Byrne alive? He's alive in the 60s. Did he read comics back then? Did he just jump in and just assume that, you know, nothing happened in Byrne world before he started making comics?
I assume it's something like that.
Yeah. All right.
So the issue, they have two extra characters than they did in the Fantastic Four. Because obviously the Fantastic Four has four members, and we have six Avengers on the cover. So what he's done is, the Wasp is easy because she's so small, and he's added in the U.S. agent, his position.
On the head of the monster.
On the head. Obviously, the Human Torch is taking the place of the Human Torch.
Is he in the same position that he was on the cover? I don't remember.
Yes.
Is he like swooping by?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I believe...
Who's the Invisible Woman? Is that Iron Man down on the ground going, oh no, I've fallen and he's going to get me?
No, I think she...
Or no, she's up in the hand like Faye Ray.
Yeah, Dr. Pym is the Invisible Woman. Iron Man is Mr. Fantastic and Wonder Man is the Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually tell because on the original cover...
Just the way they're posed.
And what they're saying, the Human Torch says, don't worry, we've only begun to fight, and the Human Torch is mimicking that. The Thing is saying, you know, you guys can't do it alone. It's time for the Thing to take a hand. They actually took the dialogue
and
from that cover.
And he's got him smushing the car, and he looks kind of wider.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's the cover. Now we can talk about the splash page.
That's a good drawing.
Yeah, it's just the Mole Man's face.
Mm-hmm. With his welder's goggles on.
So the Mole Man is attacking the surface world.
Yes. If you remember, in the last issue of West Coast Avengers, one of the UFOs went flying. I don't remember who it was. What's his name?
Ironclad?
Is that his name? I think so. Yeah. And they went to go find him, but couldn't, I think.
Which is weird, because they went to find him at the end of the issue.
And he was like trying to cause a ruckus to make them come get him, to draw them away from...
Yeah, we don't ever see him again.
Nope. But, hey... What a weird coincidence. This giant monster just shoots up out of the street.
Jason, when does this issue take place?
Oh, would you like to know?
I would.
It's in Los Angeles, California, noon plus 8 minutes today.
Noon plus eight minutes.
Yes.
Is that how one describes the time? What time is
constantly.
What time is it that we are...
It is recording? 6:39.
6 plus 39
Oh, I'm sorry.
Minutes.
6 or 7 minus 21 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like we could say either one of those,
Once you get past 6:30, I think you want to go the other direction.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why this annoys me so much, but it really does get under my skin.
Because it doesn't matter. It's just taking up a space in the artwork.
The monster that we see here, and I guess I said this before when we're talking about the cover, but the monster from the cover is in the issue. You see this giant monster, and it looks like the monster from Fantastic Four number one.
Yeah.
The Mole Man's favorite destroyer of cities.
His name is Giganto, as we find out later.
He has a name tag on. Hello, my name is Giganto.
It's his Geek Squad name tag from Best Buy.
Ask me about destroying your city.
And sales on new iPhones.
So Wonder Man finds him first, and then Iron Man comes flying in, and Iron Man's like, hey, look, it's a big giant monster. I'm going to pick him up,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which I know Iron Man's strong, but this is a really big monster.
Still, the microserver motors in his armor give him a lift of about 85 tons. If he positions himself carefully, calculating the beast's center of gravity, he should be able to lift it well clear of the city.
And apparently he can. And
like, what happens? He's picked it up. He's found its center of gravity and picked it up by, like, its solar plexus, and it's hanging limp. What happens if it just changes, like, shifts direction?
It seems like it would be really easy for this thing to roll off of Iron Man.
Yes, he doesn't have a wide
base there. Compared to this thing.
They could just tilt one way or the other and, like, smash an entire town.
It's like if you're carrying, like, a giant piece of cardboard, where you're like, yeah, I have the strength to lift
it, but it's hard
to keep it steady. And that's
or like a giant cardboard box with a bag full of water in it, because it's going to keep moving every...
Yes. Those are inanimate objects. This is a creature that would clearly be putting up some kind of a fight.
Yeah, it's like it just gave up. It went, roar? Question mark. Oh, well.
So as Iron Man is flying away with this thing, U.S. Agent pops up, and they're wondering, apparently U.S. Agent hasn't been around, and I don't know if this was a story, and I don't think
And we didn't pay attention to it?
Well, I was wondering if it's in one of our Avengers spotlights we're going to talk about next week, but I don't think it is.
I don't
know. I think it doesn't really matter. I think that they're
just
trying to
pretend. The last thing I remember him doing was something with Tigra? Well, he slapped Tigra, that's the last thing I remember U.S. Agent doing.
Iron Man is flying this monster past a beach that has a swing set on it, where a woman who looks to be at least like 28 is apparently trying to swing into orbit. It's a lot of swinging.
We are 7 pages into this comic already, and it's all just been Iron Man flying somewhere, picking a monster up, and dropping it in the water.
You forgot the woman swimming.
Swinging. 7 pages.
So yeah, Iron Man drops this critter in the water, and then he's worried about there being a big splash effect, so he burrows a line in the sand, which...
Like, this whole page over-explains everything.
Yeah.
Also, why did he throw him in the water? Why couldn't he have just sat him down?
Yeah. This poor creature.
How did he flip him over to drop him? Without losing the center of gravity.
Meanwhile, Wonder Man has found the tunnel this creature came out of, and he and the original Human Torch...
He's using him as a flashlight.
Yeah, that's basically... Yeah, he's so happy the Torch is here because he needs the light. Which is so... Just, I'm so glad we brought the Human Torch back for this.
So they find a bunch of monsters in this tunnel eventually?
Yeah, because it's the Mole Man's domain, and look, monsters. And they're fighting the monsters. Wonder Man and the Human Torch are fighting the monsters, and the Mole Man pops in.
Yes, and he's like, this is... Oh, no, he doesn't say this yet. He starts talking about revenge from the Avengers attacking him eventually, and he just made it up.
Yeah.
Somebody told him that that's what happened. That's it. Issue's over. I mean, that's the basis of the whole issue. He's attacking the surface world because the Avengers attacked him, but they didn't.
It's the Cabal, just like they fooled the UFOs last issue. They've now fooled the Mole Man into attacking the Avengers, which, let's be honest... If you're the Cabal, any of the members of the Cabal, are you going to think, I can't beat the Avengers, but you know who can? Mole Man?
Right. Like, hey man, what's Prowler doing? Why don't we go send him after Thor? Maybe that'll...
Yeah, it just makes... I just can't see any of them being like, the Mole Man is a good cat's paw. Now we get to the part of the issue where you go, what is happening?
Yep.
The Wasp, Dr. Pym, and the Scarlet Witch are flying back to the West Coast, because they were in the East Coast in the last Avengers issue.
Yes, they're going across the Rocky Mountains.
So they're flying back.
And Scarlet Witch is unconscious again?
She's unresponsive.
Again?
It's like her brain just switched off, which...
We just saw her in the last issue.
So what happened? Now, perhaps when the Vision refused to come back to the West Coast... That's what flipped the switch and made her catatonic again, since it was the Vision that got her out of her catatonic state last time.
But they never say that.
But
they never
explain
it.
And if that happened...
Are you sure we read these in the right order?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If that happened...
Oh, yeah, this is January, right?
It would have been a nice scene to see. Like, if the Vision refusing to return with her is what made her go catatonic, I would have enjoyed seeing that.
Perhaps, or I just would have been like, ugh...
Or maybe
every time that she's going to freak out now when...
But somebody should have mentioned it.
Yeah.
Because if you... I mean, we are reading these in order, and it's a very jarring thing.
Well, let me also point out, is I read these out of order. I read the next issue of the East Coast Avengers. And my question... Because she's catatonic in that one again, too. And my question was going to be, what happened in between these issues, but clearly it doesn't matter because it happened in between these other issues and we didn't see it.
Yeah. And again, you can make an explanation for it, but that's not an explanation we should have had. We shouldn't have had to write in for a no prize. So in any case, when they're flying over the Rocky Mountains, they are attacked by one of the Mole Man's creatures, which is a little odd.
Like, why? Well, and why? Also, he has a flying creature that lives underground?
Actually, yes, he does. But the bigger question is, why is it at the Rocky Mountains?
Yes.
Did he just say,
everyone, go!
Fly east until you find a Quinjet.
All my monsters, find some way out of here.
How would they find... I mean, what are the chances?
He showed him a picture. It was like a bloodhound. What? It's three heads. He's like, okay, each head gets a different character, and you guys all track him down.
The sky is big. The chances that these two would just run into each other seems...
Like, literally run into. Like, it's right there. And so, it destroys the Quinjet. I don't know how they're all not immediately murdered.
Yeah, it's
the
it's
whole bad. Cockpit area is just shredded. Unless they're hiding in the engines, I don't know how they survived.
Well... Yeah, right? Because they should all be dead. And Dr. Pym comes up with this brilliant idea where he'll shrink Wanda, and Wasp will fly Wanda to safety, and then he'll fall to his death.
Yes. Hey, there's no reason we should all die.
Yeah. Which...
Why doesn't he shrink both of them?
Well, I don't think he can shrink himself anymore.
At all?
That's the problem with his powers. Mm. He can't change his own size. Mm. But it feels like... This is still not a good plan because we determined last episode that the Pym particles apparently don't wear off. So if he shrinks Wanda, she'll be
mini
forever once he's dead. But all of a sudden, the remains of the Quinjet softly land on the ground.
It's weird.
What could it be? We'll find out. In the meantime...
In another page. Maybe we can just tell him.
In the meantime, Dr. Pym basically throws Wanda at the Wasp.
So he's like, here, so he you take her. Shrink her down?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Pym's willing to take Wanda out of the Quinjet on his own, but then he just, the panel of him just throwing her at the Wasp just amuses me.
Right here, woman, take care of woman.
And then he shrinks the flying creature down to an itty-bitty tiny size.
I haven't seen him do that before.
And then that's when we find out that the reason that the Quinjet didn't crash is because Magneto is there trying to find Wanda, and he landed the craft.
Magneto just hanging out in the woods in the Rocky Mountains.
This makes a little bit more sense than the creature finding them, only because you have to figure the Cabal is probably keeping track of where all the Avengers are.
But there's ubiquitous monitors where they can see anything in the world at any time?
So my assumption is that Magneto saw it on the monitors, and so that's how he's able to find them. But yeah, I would agree it's a little
bit more. Maybe he rode the creature there.
Da-da-da-da. And Loki is well aware that Magneto is helping the Avengers. But he seems to, again, think that this is fine. Even though, if Magneto hadn't gotten involved, at least one Avenger would have died.
Yeah, but it was one that no one cared about, so.
But it's one that Loki cares about, because he particularly hates the original Avengers. But he seems very happy with this turn of events, for reasons.
Meanwhile, they're still fighting the Mole Man underground. Wonder Man has lost his shirt, and this is where... Mole Man's like, Wonder Man's like, what are you doing this for? And he's like, well, how dare you ask? You're the one who led the assault on Monster Island. And they're like, what are you talking about? How are they showing us a scene of something that didn't happen?
Well, this is what the Mole Man saw. He saw these Avengers attack, but it wasn't them. It was, I don't know what it was. Was it magic? I don't know what it was. Was it more of Dr. Doom's robots? I have no idea.
That's the weird part. Like, they even have the white vision. Like,
now, meanwhile... The creature that Iron Man unceremoniously dumped in the water has gotten up and is now just walking around, and it's heading back to shore, I believe.
Yeah, there's little towels and surfboards or something right there.
So they decide, Iron Man and U.S. Agent decide they have to stop it, which U.S. Agent does by flying his Sky Cycle in front of it and then putting his rockets on full blast right in this poor thing's face.
So he momentarily blinds it, disorients it?
Yeah.
He's like, there, that stopped him. Yeah, okay, buddy.
And he finds out that that's not true very quickly because the monster backhands him out of the sky. The monster dead. Dr. Pims him out of the sky. And the Sky Cycle goes flying.
He got pimmed.
Iron Man saves the U.S. agent. And Wonder Man decides that the only way he can convince back down underground with the Mole Man, the only way he can convince the Mole Man that the Avengers did not attack them is to leave himself completely open to the Mole Man's attacks.
Oh, no. Oh, no, the Mole Man might... And break one of his nails.
Yeah, so the Mole Man shoots Wonder Man with his staff for approximately 30 minutes. I don't know. It just goes on and on and on. But he can't. Of course he can't hurt Wonder Man with his staff. I mean, the comic book is trying to build this up as, isn't Wonder Man brave and honorable? No, he knows this guy can't hurt him.
But he puts on a good show. I mean, I guess he's an actor.
Yeah.
It's like he keeps getting zapped and he's weaker and weaker and he's crouching and then he's down on his knees. And then the next panel we see him sweating like mad. And
with some really disturbing teeth. Is it me? His teeth look disturbing.
He looks like Morbius.
He really kind of does, with the red eyes and the teeth and the hair.
Yeah.
In any case, this convinces that because the Wonder Man lets the Mole Man attack him for, you know, 90 minutes and doesn't fight back, the Mole Man is convinced that the Avengers may not have been behind his troubles, and so he uses a dog whistle to call back the
Giganto.
The critter, and the critter leaves, goes back down through a tunnel in the ocean floor, which, I don't know how that works, because you'd think that everything on the other end of the tunnel would be flooded by the ocean.
Well, if it goes down, it's like a U-trap in a toilet.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Then it comes back up, so the...
Like what I used to see on the Drano commercials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just put a bunch of hair in it.
And then we move back to the Avengers compound, where the West Coast Avengers are watching the news and talking to Captain America at the same time. And they come up with the...
And Quasar.
They finally realize that Acts of Vengeance exists only to destroy the Avengers.
Oh, my. Wait, does this only take place in Avengers titles?
No. It's all over the place.
That's what I thought.
But they're convinced it's targeted at them. Like, the other stuff is whatever, but at the end of the day, they think that this is all about them.
It's funny because next week we're going to do the Spotlight, right? Avengers Spotlight?
Yeah.
And there's, like, two of them, or two and a half... that have something to do with Acts of Vengeance. And when I got done reading it, I was like, oh, Acts of Vengeance was like this huge thing, and we only read like seven titles with it and never really got to see any of it happen.
Yeah, I have a couple of...
Like, if they're out to get the Avengers, why didn't it wrap up in the Avengers?
It does. It will wrap up in West Coast Avengers 55. That's the last issue.
Oh, so we didn't do
that. We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, so I haven't read that.
Yes, we haven't gotten there yet.
All right, that makes sense.
But here's the thing. They keep saying that this is... They say that the attacks on Spider-Man and the FF and the rest of the superhero community seem more random and less organized than the attacks on the Avengers. To be clear, while the Hydra Base attacks seem, I guess, organized and directed, I don't feel like...
The UFOs directly fought their compound.
I'm not sure how it's different than what the other heroes are going through.
Maybe it's because, I mean, aside from the Fantastic Four, they're all just individual characters, so it seems more scattered and random.
Maybe. I mean, Quasar tries to say, well, that's because they've taken more damage, because they've had the Avengers headquarters destroyed and the West Coast mansion damaged. And I'm like, maybe that's just because you guys are bad at your jobs. Maybe it's not because...
But also, they're teams, so there are six of them, let's say, for each team, so they have to get attacked by more villains, so there's going to be more wreckage. It's not like one guy chasing Spider-Man down the street.
I mean, clearly, their conclusion is correct.
Yeah.
But Dr. Pym says it's unavoidable, and I don't think it is.
He's a scientist. You shut your mouth.
I have not seen a pipe for I don't know how long with him. I'm not convinced he actually is a scientist anymore.
Was that in this issue or coming up where he says that he's not a psychologist?
That was actually points this out issue. Yeah. Two other things I wanted to point out. I did not mention before because it makes me sick when the Wasp and Hank are in the Quinjet and they're all like all.
Did she call him Hun? She called him Hun again.
Yes, and she's like, "You can't die." Blah blah blah. John Byrne is on record as hating the divorce between Hank Pym and the Wasp.
Really?
Which is why, since he came on this title, he has been pushing them back together. He desperately wants them to be a couple again.
John Byrne's like the Bill Maher of comics.
I've been reading a lot of John Byrne stuff as we get ready to deal with the end of his tenure on West Coast Avengers, where we just have to go, what happened?
Yeah.
What was supposed to happen? And that was one of the comments he made. The second thing I just want to mention is the newscast that the Avengers are watching is talking about the House Committee on Superhero Activities. A lot of people have read the Civil War comics from Marvel, where they tried to institute a Superhuman Registration Act.
20 years after this.
That's not the first time that happened. It actually happened first right here. And it's not the first time that it kind of happened even here. Because, of course, in the X-Men books five years ago, they tried to pass the Mutant Registration Act.
Right.
But during Acts of Vengeance, the government decides that they want to pass this Superpowers Registration Act, which, of course, would force every hero to register. It obviously does not become the big deal it becomes in Civil War, and is mostly handled in Walt Simonson's first issues as the writer of Fantastic Four, where the Fantastic Four go to Congress to spend three issues testifying before Congress.
That's some exciting reading.
Really. It's actually a lot of fun. Walt Simonson is a lot of fun with the Fantastic Four. But the point is, it's not something we see a lot of. But it's mentioned in a couple of titles that's mentioned here. I thought I would
bring it up. Yeah, I was going to bring that up too. I forgot about it.
Yeah, because I think it's actually mentioned last issue as well, yes. Or something related to it is mentioned last issue.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I didn't remember it being a big deal, but then, of course, like you said, 20 years later, it does show. I was like, was this going on for 20 years and it was just on the back burner the whole time?
This is the problem with Acts of Vengeance. It's not it's a crossover in the old school sense where there is no Acts of Vengeance 8 issues limited series that can contain the spine of the story.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like there is really one editor or writer that is kind of in charge of it. Even though it was Byrne's idea and it's focused on the Avengers, none of the other writers in the Marvel Universe seem to care. And so they're doing their own things with it. And that's interesting because during Acts of Vengeance, you have so many major plot lines. Besides what's going on with the Avengers, you have the Superhuman Registration Act or Superpower Registration Act. This is when Spider-Man gets the Captain Universe powers and goes cosmic. And other writers are taking advantage of Acts of Vengeance to do interesting things, and yet it never coheres. It always feels a little scattered to me.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish we did have a 5-issue Acts of Vengeance series that John Byrne at least plotted, even if he didn't have time to write it and draw it.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle that they couldn't bother to finish.
Yes, it very much is. And it really begins to feel that way, in my opinion. Is there a letters page here? Because I don't have one.
No.
All right.
Nope. That's it.
It's short. Do you want to?
Do we want to riff on something? What do we riff on? What do you want to talk about?
All right, we're gonna fill in for we're gonna fill in for a couple minutes.
Oh, do you have stuff?
I'm gonna ask you a question, Jason.
Oh, interesting. Now you're getting your money's worth out of this free podcast.
Would you rather spend your time watching old movies with Peter Parker or taking archery lessons from Clint Barton? Which to me really, it's clearly old movies because I don't want to take, I've done archery. I hate archery. It's hard.
Yeah, but what's.
And I'd rather hang out with Peter than Clint any day of the week.
But if this was like a once in a lifetime thing, why would I just want to sit and watch movies?
Because you're watching them with Peter Parker.
Is he all that interesting?
He is to me.
I feel like Spider-Man's more interesting than Peter Parker. Like he puts the mask on and he gets much more of a personality.
I don't think I could spend.
I would
an hour with Clint Barton without wanting to hit him in the face.
But if someone of that caliber is like, hey, man, you want to learn how to shoot a bow and arrow? I think I would probably take him up on that. Like, well, I could probably learn something there. That's like, I don't know, name a famous pianist. Well, like if Elton John's like, hey, man, you want to learn how to play the piano? I think I would rather do that than watch old movies that I've probably seen.
You, I think
it's like masterclass. Like, what's masterclass about? Sitting on a couch with Peter Parker.
Well, there is that. I can't argue with that. I will give you what. Would you rather live under Hydra's fascist rule, like in the Secret Empire storyline, or after Thanos' snap? If you were one of the people left after the snap.
Oh, definitely the snap.
Yeah.
I don't really care for people in general, so.
Well, and you figure, you know, it's funny because.
Plus, real estate's got to, prices have to go way down.
Right.
There's so much available now.
Clearly, you could lose people that were close to you, yeah. And that would be sad.
There's like 6 people that are close to me. Wait, how many kids do I have? Hold on. 8 people. That's an easy one.
Who would you rather hang out with, Baby Groot or Teenage Groot? No Groot, according to Jason.
Don't care. A baby Groot, because teenage Groot's just mopey.
And baby Groot's so cute.
I have teenagers at home. I don't. I think I already live with baby Groot.
All right, we'll do one more. Who would you vote for as president?
No.
Thor or Black Panther? Isn't this a dumb question?
That is a very dumb. Where'd that come from?
These all came from a website. I did not make any of these up.
It's clearly Black Panther.
Right? Who votes for Thor? What idiot votes for Thor? No offense, Thor, but come on. Yeah, Black Panther would be an amazing president.
Right? Look what he's done for his own country.
Right? All right, I'm gonna give you one more. It's a Peter Parker Hawkeye question again.
Uh-oh.
These people love Peter Parker Hawkeye. Would you rather visit Venice with Peter Parker
Or, is this from the second Spider-Man movie?
Or Budapest with Hawkeye. See, this time, I'm going Hawkeye and Budapest because I've been to Venice. And I like Venice. It's fine. But I'd have much more fun with Hawkeye and Budapest. I bet that would be a blast.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I feel like you could almost get into trouble in Budapest, that it might be more interesting.
Yeah.
Venice is like, oh, look, my feet are wet. Like,
yeah, Venice.
No, although maybe you should go see it before it sinks into the sea.
No offense to all of our Venetian listeners. I love Venice. It's a beautiful city, but it does not touch me the way it touches a lot of people. Like, it doesn't thrill me. I don't feel like, it's not a city I feel I need to go back to. I've spent maybe 4 or 5 days in Venice, and I don't think I really need to go back. No offense to Venice.
I've never been to Italy, or Venice specifically, but I think I would rather go somewhere else in Italy where there's more, like Venice, you're just like, okay, yep, that's the city that's built in the water, and yep, there it was, I saw it.
I would, one of my favorite cities on the planet is in Italy. It is Rome. I would much more recommend Rome than Venice.
Yeah.
Or Naples.
Have you been to Munich?
No,
I like Munich.
Also not in Italy.
Just, no.
You know,
it's a little north.
Confusion.
So it's a little north.
But no, I've not been to Munich. I would like to see Munich. And I hear that Berlin is amazing.
I've never been to Berlin. I'd like to get into Denmark.
I have been to Copenhagen.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. Love it. One of my favorite cities. Where the bikes outnumber the cars.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Too bad they won't let us move there.
Yeah, they don't want us.
They don't.
They know better.
They don't. They're very stingy with letting people become citizens there.
Yeah, I loved what I saw in Denmark. But I feel that way about all this. The time I've spent in Holland, the time I've spent in the Netherlands, and even in like Finland, Sweden.
Yeah.
All those Baltic countries, I think, are gorgeous. But I also think I'd shoot myself in the winter. You know, it's so long and it gets cold, and I don't think I'd like that.
Where is Budapest? That's Romania, isn't it?
Turkey?
No.
But no. Wait, oh my gosh, this is horrible. I'm going to cut all this out so it looks like we know where Budapest is.
It's in Romania, isn't it?
No. Hungary. It's in Hungary.
It's right next to Romania.
Jason, I'm going to... Jason, Budapest is in Hungary. So just cut all that stuff out in the middle.
What?
I look brilliant.
No. I thought it was in Romania. Wow, you're a genius.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, he cut out all the stuff where we didn't know where Budapest was.
And
he just cut
that
out too. Duh! Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back with more travel guides next week. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is avenginghour@gmail.com. And you can find us on Instagram @TheAvengingHour. Bye-bye.